Well, good morning, everybody. Two quick housekeeping items before the homily. Number one is there's a black dog out there, and poor thing, somebody tied him up last night, and I don't know to whom he belongs, but I will be taking care of him and getting him to a proper place. Unless anybody wants to take him home, you go ahead. But no collars or anything, so somebody just tied him up last night. So Sister Glory gave him a little hospitality this morning, but that was it. Number two is that this weekend around the Archdiocese and all the parishes is the United Catholic Appeal weekend. And in your pews, you'll find cards. You might have got one in the mail and maybe had an opportunity to send that in. Perfect. If not, there's one in the pew. You can fill it out and bring it back next week, or put it in the collection this week, or 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks. You can do it online, however you want to do it. Remember the joke about the two guys who are on a plane and they get stranded on an island. There's no life there at all. And the one is freaking out. He says, "Oh my gosh, we're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die." And the other guy's totally chill. He's like, "I'm not worried. I'm a Catholic. I donate very generously to the Bishop's Appeal every year. He'll find me." And But anyway, the reality is that the United Catholic Appeal helps things that the diocese does that no singular parish can do. For example, the diocese runs a seminary. The diocese supports 32 seminarians. The diocese runs a school corporation with 68 schools. The diocese runs Catholic Charities, which helps tens of thousands of people every year. Prison ministry, all sorts of different things that no one parish can do. And that's where our cathedraticum goes, and it's also where the United Catholic Appeal monies go. That's why I give every year, and why it's important to contribute. We're not just our own little church. We are part of a much bigger body, and it's good to support it. This is also National Vocation Week, and so here begins my homily. I want to just reflect on one thing that my priest growing up told me, and one thing that my parents told me. Francis of Assisi said, "Preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words." And I also want to say one thing that Father Charlie just showed me by his life, and one thing my parents did with their life. It was kind of a cool thing. We had Mass for All Souls Day right over here at the cemetery in the evening, right in front of the cross. And it was really a miracle, because we were getting ready for Mass, and I went over to talk to somebody, and I came back, and there was a dandelion on the altar. And the reason that that was such a big thing for me was that, first of all, a dandelion doesn't just show up there. You know, God somehow put the dandelion there. He sent an angel to do it. And it made me to think about my priest that I had growing up. When I was in second grade, Father Charlie came to town. He was our new priest. He was there all the way through my high school years, and then he retired in town until he ultimately passed away in Bloomington. And the reason that the dandelion thing makes such a big thing for me is because one time I kind of kept thinking, maybe I'm supposed to be a priest. Maybe I'm supposed to be a priest. And I was afraid of that, because I tried to always make it seem like, oh, somebody else will be the priest. My brother will be the priest, or whatever, you know. And so I kept thinking, I'm not good enough to be a priest. I'm not holy enough. I'm not smart enough. I can't give homilies. I can't imagine myself doing those things. I don't know why I have this idea in the back of my brain that I'm supposed to be a priest. So I need to talk to my priest about this. So I went to Father Charlie. And Father Charlie said that he said, "I would worry about you if you felt like you had all the gifts to be a priest, and that you thought you'd be a really great priest, and that you'd be saved the church and all that." He said, "I worry about you if you said that." He said, "Look over here." And he had a picture on the side of his wall of a dandelion. And he said, "The reason that I have that picture of the dandelion is because it reminds me," he says, "I often feel like I'm the dandelion of the priesthood." He said, I still don't think I'm smart enough to be a priest. And he's been a priest by now by 60 years. "I don't think I'm smart enough to be a priest. I don't think I give good homilies. I don't think I do this. I don't think, but my God, that man taught me Jesus. That man incarnated the love of Jesus Christ. And he gave me my sacraments, and he thought that he was the dandelion of the priesthood." He said, "Michael, dandelions can be priests too. And that changed the kind of like, I was like, well, okay, well, maybe I can. Maybe you don't have to be perfect to be a priest or a religious sister. In fact, nobody's perfect. And Jesus has some words about that in the gospel. He says, people preach and they don't practice. And what sometimes people say, I don't want to go to church. It's just a bunch of hypocrites in there. I say, you're daggone right it is, and there's plenty of room for more. Come on in. Because we're all a bunch of hypocrites. We are. And that's the reality. Now, we try to do better. We try to get holier. We try to do all those things. But at the end of the day, none of us lives up to the teachings of our blessed Lord. We try, and we better try. And darn if we, woe to us if we don't try. But perfection is not a prerequisite for being a disciple. The desire for it is. So in any event, that Father Charlie and that dandelion on the altar at All Souls Mass made me to realize that Father Charlie is still with me. He passed away in 2008, but he is still in my life very much. And it's kind of like he was telling me he was praying for me, you know, and that was kind of special. Number two, my parents. My parents told me one time, now I have one brother, you know. And one day it was after the early Mass. We always went to the early Mass. And Dad played the organ. Mom was a Eucharistic minister. Mom was very involved she took a job at the school, I think, to keep an eye on me, at the Catholic school. But they were a big part of the festival every year. Dad was the chair of the finance committee. I mean, these people were very involved. And I learned from their generosity. Their generosity with Jesus and the church gave me the green light to think, well, maybe I could be generous with God too, to the point even of giving my life as a priest. But one time they sat me and my brother down, and it was in the living room after morning Mass. I probably was in second grade, I don't know. And they said, if either of you becomes a priest, we will be very happy and we will support you. That's the only time my parents ever talked about me being a priest or my brother being a priest. But it was enough for me to know that it was an option for me, and that also that they would be happy if I became one, if that's what God wanted. And I tell that because I think parents, grandparents, godparents, whatever our role is, we have to make our kids know that what we want more than anything is for them to do God's will. Whatever God's will is for them, that's what we need to want for them. And that's what we need to pray for them. And that's what we need to, the reason that we send our kids to Catholic school or to religious ed or to youth group and to NCYC and to all of these beautiful things is because it gives them encounters with the living God so they can know what God wants from them. And it's beautiful. And to want nothing more than God's will for our kids is what my parents wanted for me and what they did for me. And I'm grateful. And the last thing I would say is that every young man should pray about being a priest. Every young woman should pray about being a religious sister. It's our duty as Catholics to pray about these things and not just assume somebody else will do it. I always say, what if Mother Teresa said, oh, somebody else will become the nun, or what if John Paul II said, oh, somebody else will be the priest? What if Mary said, somebody else will be the mother? You know, the Lord looks to us to say yes. And what God has done through the yeses of young people in the course of the Bible, in the course of the saints. St. Vincent de Paul was 16 when he became a priest. Pope John XXIII was 11 when he went to seminary. Thérèse of Lisieux was 15 when she became a nun. And Mother Teresa was 16. What God has done through young people, St. John was 13 when he became a priest. What God does through the yeses of young people and the eternal effect of their yeses, it's so big. And the reason that the church gives us this week to pray for priests and religious in a particular way, for more priests and more religious, is because the eternal salvation of multitudes of people depends upon men saying yes to being priests and women saying yes to becoming religious sisters. It just does. And we can't just assume somebody else's kid will do it or somebody else will do it. No, it could be me. Could be me. And so today we pray the good Lord to continue raising up holy vocations from our parish and from our families. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.